This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate, and today we are going right down to a nerd rabbit hole. So go ahead and find your reading glasses so you can take some notes, because today I've got Jason Latana with us from the Veterans Administration, lovingly known as the VA, and we're going to talk about adaptive housing grants that are designed for our most disabled veterans. It's a program that many of you may not have known existed, but I'm super excited for you to learn more so you can reach out to every veteran you know who might need the help and take advantage of a program that's desperately needed for those who have given everything for this amazing country. So enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
So Jason, I'm so excited to have you here on Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I know that you work for the government, so you're probably not allowed to say cuss words, but I am because it's my show. And I'm grateful for you spending some time with us to talk about a really interesting veteran program that not everybody knows about. So with that being said, why don't you tell my audience a little bit about who you are, what your role is in the VA, and then we'll dig into our really fun topic today.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Lee. Hey, my name is Jason Latona. I'm the chief for Specially Adapted Housing, which is a grant program run by VA for our most severely disabled veterans, located here in beautiful Washington, D.C., and looking forward to speaking to you today.
So, of course, you know, I'm in North Carolina, and we are the nation's most military-friendly state, and all the other states are going to now fuss at me in the comments, but you're all wrong. You can at me, but I'm right, because we have Camp Lejeune, we have Fort Bragg, we have the Air Force Base in Goldsboro, we have Cherry Point Marine Corps Air Station. I mean, there's military everywhere. And so, of course, we have veterans all over the state, and I find that it's amazing to me how many of our veterans have no idea of what's available out there. I mean, they might go to the VA hospital and get some service, but not even all of our veterans take advantage of their health care because of reasons. And they don't all take advantage of the VA loan program, which I'll just tell you is the one thing the VA really gets right, is the VA loan program has been improved so much. But then we talk about the housing gaps. And in the market right now, of course, affordability is a concern for a lot of people. Availability is a concern for everybody because there's just not enough rooftops. So take those issues and add on that somebody who honorably served may be facing massive issues that keep them from participating in the workforce. They may have issues with PTSD and with families. And of course, right now, as we're recording this, there's a giant conversation about burn pits and those victims and what are they supposed to do with their life. And so it's really important that we have people like you to come on and talk to us about these programs that exist so more of our veterans can take advantage of it. So let's talk about these grant programs for this adaptive housing. Give us a little background on how long it's been in place and how it came to be, and maybe give us a little visual description for those that are listening and not watching.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I spent some time in, as a former active duty Marine, I spent some time in North Carolina running through the woods down there and several years, in fact. And yep, hurrah. Love the state. Had a lot of fun down in North Carolina. And you're absolutely right. I mean, with the market today like it is, we've got a lot of people who are staying in their homes and they're choosing to remodel. And that's really the bread and butter of what we do for the Specially Adapted Housing Program. So Specially Adapted Housing Benefit awards monetary grants to provide physical adaptations to eligible veterans and service members' homes. I mean, the overall intent is to provide a better quality of life for our most severely disabled veterans. You know, how the benefits take shape is unique for each situation because every veteran has unique needs. And we work with the veterans individually and the contractors they choose to do the work to tailor the design features to their individual needs. There are three primary grants. I can go through those real quickly. Three primary grants we offer are the Specially Adapted Housing Grant, which is the grant for our most severely disabled veterans. These are veterans have lost their loss of use of multiple limbs, maybe blindness in both eyes, or suffering from a condition, maybe ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, or another terminal illness. And this makes a house more wheelchair accessible. And that grant goes up to $100,000, which is a good chunk of change, especially in today's market. The second grant is called the Special Housing Adaptations Grant. It's a little smaller. It's for veterans who have loss or loss of use of their hands or certain burns. And that grant goes to up to about $20,000. And the third grant within the SH program is called the Temporary Residence Adaptation Grant. So whereas the first two grants are for veterans who live and own their own homes, the Temporary Residence Adaptation Grant allows a veteran who's living temporarily with a loved one, family member, to adapt their home. The cool thing about that third grant is a veteran who's eligible for one of the first two grants, SAH or SHA, can use this TRA grant for up to $40,000 to remodel their loved one's home to make it accessible. And then when they go back and purchase their own home, they still have their entire other grant available.
Oh, so it's they can actually access more than one of the benefits, so they can have somewhere to be the whole time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's such a big deal, too. We have a lot of veterans who are transitioning service members, active duty service members, transitioning out of service due to their disabilities. And they might not have a house waiting for them. So a lot of them end up residing with a family or loved ones until they transition into their own home, and they can leverage this grant as well as the other grant.
So does that temporary one apply? Like, let's just say somebody was serving overseas and they were caught in a mortar attack. They're at Walter Reed. They finally get released and they're in that recovery phase. They're going through PT and OT and they're trying to get things moving again. So they can use the temporary grant to make mom's house 36 doors and pull bars and all those things that can make somebody more self-able to help themselves. And then as they continue healing, they are ready to go find a house, get their VA loan, and then they can tap into that grant. Can the grant happen to the house before they move in? Does the timing come into play, or does the veteran get to control the timing? Because you did mention they get to pick their own contractors. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it's a veteran's choice program. The VA will provide them a list of builders who've completed projects for us in the past, but we do not refer them to any specific builders. We don't endorse any specific builders. Veterans can choose who they use. But your answer is correct, and a lot of it is about timing. So if a veteran is actually injured and they're active duty and they're in the process of transitioning out of the military, there is a defined handoff between the DOD and VA, where as soon as DOD determines the disabilities that are causing the veteran to be discharged, they hand them over to the VA, and VA immediately starts the claims process so we can make the handoff as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Best case scenario, we can coordinate. Yeah, before they get home.
We know that government agencies are not exactly known for their, what's the nice way to say it? They're not known for being efficient and timely in their processing. So if somebody is being released from the hospital and they're going home to mom's house, how long does the handoff take on average? And I know every situation's different. And of course, holidays play in and staffing shortages and all that. But the average scenario, the DOD handoff to the VA till the money is available to the veteran who needs it, how long does that take?
It could take several months, because once DOD determines what the ratings are on the DOD side, hands them over to the VA. The VA gets another 30 to 60 days, I believe, to determine what their rating will be at the VA side. And then technically, VA is supposed to wait 30 days after the date of discharge to actually deliver the benefits. So there is a little bit of a dance in there. And you're right. You know, we've got a lot of laws. We have statutes we have to comply with, which creates red tape. One of the things we do in the Specially Adapted Housing Program is try to eliminate as much of that red tape as possible. And we kind of lean forward aggressively. So once we identify a veteran who may be eligible or service member for our grant, that's when we assign a Specially Adapted Housing agent to proactively reach out to that veteran or service member and to engage them as quickly as possible so we can start taking care of as much of the paperwork as we possibly can. Because we do know they're going to have to find a builder. They're going to have to develop plans, multiple bids, preferably with builders. We want them to find someone they can work with, so when disagreements arise, things move smoothly. But we try to lean forward as aggressively as possible.
So with mom's house, so let's say that they're moving back in with mom until they figure out the long-term plan. Mom can take out a home equity line to adapt the house for her baby because she's probably not sitting on enough cash to make those adjustments herself. So the grant can repay her. So is it a cash benefit when it finally comes through based on invoices and receipts? I mean, what are the, A reason I ask this, one of the questions we get on the real estate side often has to do with the actual logistics of when does the money change hands? Because a contractor basically needs to be paid right now because his workers have to get paid right now in cash with a Slurpee or they're gone to the next guy with this labor shortage we're dealing with. And so logistically, he moves in with mom. Mom spends $40,000 to get the house upfit. 6 months later, the temporary housing money comes through. Does it come through the check to mom?
So the funds are dispersed to the veteran. And if there is a contract in place, funds can get dispersed directly to the builder. And you made a good point, too, about what are the different ways that they can apply funds, too. There are four. There are actually four different plans that a veteran can use. A veteran can actually, or service member, can actually apply grant funds to build the home and purchase the land at the same time. They can build a home on land they already own. They can remodel an existing home, like what you were just referring to, or they can actually get reimbursed for adaptations they completed previously. So that fourth plan would apply in this situation where a veteran or their loved one has already purchased a property, has already done remodeling and come out of pocket for expenses. And then the VA would be able to, once the veteran's determined to be eligible for the grant, can reimburse for the eligible expenses.
Well, that's actually fairly helpful. So if somebody's listening to this podcast or watching it and thinking, I had no idea this existed, can they retroactively apply for this if they fall into that severely disabled category?
Oh, they can definitely apply. If a veteran is eligible or feels they might be eligible due to their disabilities, they should definitely apply for the specially adapted housing grant. Because if it does turn out that they are eligible and they came out of pocket for certain expenses, some of those may be reimbursable.
And I'll also mention, friends, if you're watching this and you're thinking, okay, I'm a realtor. How do I reach my veterans? They don't know what to do. Every one of your congressmen and women has a somebody on their staff in constituent services, and they will have somebody who handles veterans who can be your conduit if you get lost in the VA pipeline, because it is a very big operation. And often I will tell you that's your number one resource is call your congressperson's office, talk to the person in constituent services who can connect you back to Jason and his team over here with these grants. And so in regard to these grants, you mentioned that the DOD gets to determine who's disabled enough. Jason, what happens if a veteran applies for the grants and the DOD has said, nah, you're pretty good. I think you can see 80% out of one eye and zero out of the other. We don't think you're that bad. Can they appeal the process or how does that work?
Yeah. So the rating that happens for VA's benefits is on the VA side. So whereas we look at what disabilities were identified by the DOD, it's really the VA's compensation services disability rating that counts as far as benefits goes. So if a veteran has a rating and it doesn't come back the way they expected, they have full right to go ahead and appeal. With every rating is appeal, the appeal rights are provided with the rating in case a veteran feels like their disabilities weren't properly represented or they didn't get the compensation they felt they needed.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky-high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. So are there dollar limits on this? Because obviously, I'm in North Carolina. We have some affordable pockets. We have some less affordable pockets. And if you go out to, God forbid, the Bay Area, then it's a wildly different price point there. And if I go to Kansas, that's a different price point. And also, we have different kinds of housing. So trailer houses are normal here. They are not normal in some markets. Are the dollars flexible based on the cost of living and the cost of housing in an area?
Not according to the cost of living, but each grant, they've kind of factored that in. There's a couple things that happened recently, which is pretty cool. The Ryan Kuhls and Paul Benny Act was passed a couple years ago, which increased the grant amounts by 9%, due in part to that increase in construction costs. Congress felt like the grant amounts weren't keeping up with the cost of construction. So that new law increased the grant amount by about 9%. On top of that, every year, we're able to increase our grant amounts based upon the cost of construction index. We're currently using the Turner Cost Index, but we can use different indexes based upon their performance. So if the cost of construction is going up in the industry, we're able to raise the grant amount to try to keep pace. This year, it went over $101,000, which is the first time it's gone that high. I'll also say that even if the cost of construction stagnates for a year, heaven forbid, the grant amount will never go down. It'll stay the same.
Because it's a government program. Okay, so when you say that the dollar amounts can be levered, does the VA have the leverage to do that themselves, or does this have to come from the Congress?
We have the authority to go ahead and increase it already every year. So that's a permanent authority that we have. Based upon the cost of construction index, we will increase it based upon that. We do not need authority each year to do that.
Yay, that takes out definitely a big sticky wicket on your end to make sure that you're able to keep providing these benefits. Now, let me ask you a question about the benefits, because we have programs on the real estate side, such as the loan program through the USDA, where the funds can be depleted and run out, and then somebody has to just get in line until Congress refills that bucket. The VA benefits do not have a cap. There's a VA loan for any veteran who's eligible. Are there caps on these grants? Does the money run out? What happens if somebody applies and your bucket is temporarily empty, or does that even occur?
No, there's no cap. So with last year was a record year for us. FY21, we delivered over 2,300 grant approvals.
Oh, yay.
So yeah, it's over $150 million. There is no cap on the grant of funds we can use. The only cap in our program occurs with what's called the temporary authority we have under Section 202. So basically what that is, the majority of veterans for the large grant must have loss or loss of use of multiple limbs to use them, or blindness or these other conditions. But Congress already knew, and VA knew, that there were many veterans since post 9/11 who had been getting injured and missing just one limb. With the use of IEDs and other kinds of technologies that came out of the battlefield, we had veterans who were missing a single limb. And because of that, Congress authorized that we could actually provide the large grant to 120 veterans per year who are only missing one limb. So that's a temporary authority we have, and we have only 120 slots for that specific authority.
And can I just point out how heartbreaking it is that we have a scenario where you can even say only one limb? I mean, it's wild. One of my dearest friends he's a former active duty Marine. And for those of y'all that didn't know, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine. There's only active duty and there's former active duty.
Right on.
And so I had made a comment to him one time about how surgical it can be on the battlefield now. And he said, it's not. He said, you as a civilian might think it's a surgical hit because we can more directly focus an IED on a target, but the impacts are not surgical at all. And it causes so many pieces of collateral damage that you never see unless you're really paying attention, because of course our media is only focused on clicks and taps and they move on, don't show this kind of a big picture that we're talking about here, which is why these grants exist. So let me ask you about the unseen disabilities, Jason. What about somebody with PTSD or some kind of anxiety and battlefield related mental scars? Are they eligible for any of this or not at this time?
So the SEH grants are more mobility grants. So where there are other programs that a veteran might be eligible for due to PTSD or traumatic brain injury. And I will say that many of the veterans, if not most of the veterans eligible for our grant, also have those residuals along with it. But that's not the disability code, if you will, that makes them eligible for SEH. It has to be something more with mobility. You know, that was set in process, you know, back in 1947 when this was passed. It was the paraplegic grant when this law was passed back in 1948. So it's evolved since then, obviously, and we've had presumptive ratings for more and more disabilities. A good example of that is veterans who are blinded in both eyes. They didn't used to be eligible for a grant, and then they were made eligible for the smaller grant, the SHA grant. And then the recent legislation increased that rating And now they're eligible for the large grant. So veterans now who have service-connected blindness in both eyes may be eligible for up to $100,000, which goes a lot further as far as home, smart home technology and things like that. They need unique, expensive adaptations. But there are many other disabilities that our veterans deal with specifically. And so we try to work very closely with the PSD program and traumatic brain injury program and the ALS Association, just to make sure that we're, as we're delivering these adaptations, we're considering all their needs.
I love this. And I'm so glad that this program exists to take care of those who put themselves in harm's way. And they're never the same after. And I think that's a, it's easy to say thank you to a veteran when you see somebody wearing a cap, but it's hard to think about what their life is day to day and how we can make it more palatable and help them feel appreciated, which is exactly what this grant does. So before I let you off the show, I want you to tell me, is there a situation or a story that you saw with a veteran that just melted you into a puddle of appreciation and warmth and goodies about the VA for how you're able to help somebody?
I've got to say almost every case, a lot of these cases almost bring you to tears. And especially as a service member, it's near and dear to a lot of our hearts. But, you know, the cases where families are involved are, you know, I've had the opportunity, we provide this grant overseas as well, which is pretty neat. I've had the opportunity to travel overseas and visit veterans, expat veterans living across the globe. And it's been pretty exciting to see where they live and how they live and what their story was behind their service. But I have to say, the cases where we go into a home and it's a veteran with their family and usually with young kids is probably the most impactful, because you know that you're delivering an adaptation that's not only going to make them more independent personally, but you're also giving those kids their father or mother back and helping the caregiver. And not to mention the fact that the money that we provide to veterans before these adaptations are actually helping the local community. Right. And the local economy. This money goes directly into the companies that are doing these adaptations so they can reinvest in their companies and do more projects for us. So there are just so many good news stories that have to do with this program. So we feel very lucky to be involved.
And for any of you out there that are thinking, but what's the purpose of this house later? Let me just remind you as a realtor that any house that's had these adaptations made to it is often going to be a better marketplace because it's more compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And you think about our aging population, a lot of the same adaptations that are made for a mobility disabled person would also apply to somebody who's elderly and has their own mobility issues. We call that, of course, aging in place now so that somebody can stay put longer. So don't let that worry you if you're thinking this could harm your resale value, because a lot of people get really blinders in on something having to look like HGTV. But in reality, we got to think about what it means to the person who lives there. Jason, thank you so much for the work that you're doing through the VA. And I really appreciate you coming on to dig deep into a kind of obscure, small topic, but I feel confident that my listeners and viewers are going to go take this out and bring a veteran forward who could use the help. And I'm grateful for that as an American.
Thank you so much. And pleasure to be here. And of course, you know, the heroes in our program are the veterans and the specially adapted housing agents. We've got almost 200 of them across the country who deliver this, and they're in the veterans' homes every day delivering this benefit. So thanks to them, and thanks for the opportunity to come on board.
So if somebody does have questions about the program or the application process, what is the best link for them to go to?
The best way to do it is just to go to va.gov. And on the top right-hand corner of the landing page on va.gov, all they have to do is type in SAH or specially adapted housing, and that'll take them directly to our website, which provides information on the eligibility requirements, the application where they can apply, and answers any other questions they might have.
Perfect. So if y'all are listening to this while you're out having an afternoon walk, don't worry, because I've got the links in the show notes for this episode so that you can take this out and put it into the hands of a veteran that you know. Include this in your social media too, because somebody may be looking at your words and they had no idea this existed. And so bring them a little bit of help and a little bit of light, because that's what we do. Jason, I appreciate you, and I hope to see you in person at some point. And thanks to your team for bringing you on my show.
Thank you so much, Lee. It's a pleasure.
Hey, we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.